prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Good morning, where faith and reason meet. Mm-hmm. It's Truth Revolution.
That's
I'm
right.
Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning, and we want to invite you out to Revolution Church, but yes. Today we got some very important stuff going on.
We do?
666.
Stop it.
There is...
You're scaring people.
There is someone who walked away from a track meet because of this number. I'm going to talk about it. It's just in the news. I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
Also, the prophecies of Jesus. How do we know Jesus was the Messiah that the Bible predicted? The Jewish Messiah.
Right.
Is there a way to know this, or do we just like believe it for no reason?
Wait a minute. We've never talked about this before, have we?
Well, a few times. We've talked about it a few times.
Yeah.
But and of course, we're going to answer a Bible contradiction about whether it's okay to have sex outside of marriage.
Right.
Because the Bible contradicts itself. At least that's a claim of some of our detractors.
So those of you who only read half the Bible might think it's okay. The other half might think it's not. So we're gonna set you straight here.
But we got a really good show today. We're going to cover all those things. The most important one, the main topic, is the prophecies of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know Jesus is the Jewish Messiah?
Right. And the Bible itself even says, if Jesus is not who he claims to be, we are to be pitied above all men.
Oh, that's right. And so we have to know, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Mm-hmm. Was he really the Jewish Messiah?
And you know what? If he wasn't, we want to know.
We do want to know.
Because we want to know truth.
We want to know the truth, point blank.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, I just need to mention this before we jump in. Next week, something awesome is happening.
Right.
We are having a special guest, Dr. Gary Habermas.
That's going to be awesome.
He is one of the world's foremost authorities on the resurrection. He has written the case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the historical Jesus. He's written Beyond Death. He's written In Defense of Miracles, Dealing with Doubt, and many more books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is a brainiac.
Right. And so what brought him onto this show? What are we doing?
Well, there's a guy named Joseph Atwell. Maybe some of you have heard of him. He says that Jesus is not real. He's a Roman fabrication. On his website, he actually says, the Caesars committed a crime against consciousness. They reached into the minds of their subjects and planted false concepts to make them easier to control.
Now, this is the first time I've ever heard of a concept like this.
Yeah.
I mean, is this new?
It's not brand new, no, but he's putting a new twist on it. He says he has new evidence to prove that Jesus was a Roman invention. And so we're going to look at what he says, and we're inviting Dr. Gary Habermas on because Habermas is a genius when it comes to historical information. He's going to talk to us about the historical records. Is there secular confirmation that Jesus existed?
There you go. So we're going to touch on that next week. Don't forget to join us.
But this week, did Jesus fulfill prophecies? I want to read you for something from the Quran.
Okay.
The Quran, this is a Muslim prophecy from Surah 32. It says, the Romans will be defeated.
Okay.
That is their prophecy. Now, the problem here is that it's not very specific.
Right.
When will they be defeated? How will they be defeated? I mean, everyone's going to be defeated at some point in time.
Yeah.
If I say, United States will be defeated. Well, okay. That's great. I'm going to be right at some point.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about hockey or basketball or, you know, the Olympics.
Exactly. Am I talking about sports or am I talking about the nation? I mean, that's the deal. Hindus have some prophecy. One of theirs is talking about waiting for a Messiah to give some signs. And it says, petty-minded people will conduct business transactions and merchants will be dishonest.
When did that?
It's happening now.
When was that never the case?
So we want to know, like, is the Bible the same way? Because if those are the prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, this is just not going to cut it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I see where you're going with this now. Yeah, totally. Because if we're walking around spouting these prophecies and sounding like obvious like this,
right?
Then, I mean,
then just stop.
Pity
you know?
The fool.
Right. If the only prophecy about Jesus is, there'll be a dude with long hair. Then, you know, it's not, I'm not basing my life on that.
No, exactly. I totally agree.
So that's not to say he had long hair. He might have, but I don't know. Dave used to have long hair, longer hair.
Yeah.
You have fairly long hair right now.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, it's long enough. And anyways, I want to stop talking about long hair now.
Well, I may have fulfilled Bible prophecy. We're going to find out.
Whoa. Okay. Daniel chapter 9 gives us a prophecy about Jesus. Are you ready to have your mind blown?
I will do it.
Because this is crazy, okay? I want you just to listen to this, folks. It's kind of hard to understand, but I'm going to read through it a little bit, and you're going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
77s are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And here it comes. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. Okay, so you have these predictions right here. It says...
That's like really generalized and vague, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's telling you exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
And here's what happens. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means, because it's prophecy done right. It can't be crystal clear so that everybody knows it off the bat.
Right.
Otherwise, everyone's going to say, oh, I'm going to try to do that. Mm-hmm. But it has to be clear enough that when it happens, everybody can know.
Oh, snap.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Now, so you look at this, and people knew it was a prophecy, and they knew it was saying something important.
Right.
And so we look at it and we read it. And then when Jesus came and he died, we went, whoa, that's exactly what it said.
Right.
Okay. This states that after the decree is made to rebuild Jerusalem or the temple, there will be 7 sets of 7 and 62 sets of 7. Okay, mm-hmm. These are years, okay? 7 sets of 7 years is
49 years.
Very good at math. You're very good at math.
You know, I like math. Math doesn't necessarily like me.
Well, let's see if you can do the next one. It says, and 62 sets of 7s.
So that would be 14 if plus...
Is he really doing this in his head?
What? That'd be 14 plus 620.
I'm really impressed. Well, yeah, it's...
Just stop right there. You just already...
You almost had it?
Yeah.
434 years. Okay, you add those up.
I was right. 420 plus 14.
You add those up. I'm impressed with your math. But we're talking about prophecy right now, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Right on.
You add those up, you get 483 years.
Yes.
So what this says is, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so from mm-hmm. the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple.
Right.
Until what? Until the anointed one comes and he is cut off.
Right.
There will be 483 years.
Right.
Okay, so there will be 483 years until the Messiah dies after the temple or Jerusalem is rebuilt.
Yes.
The temple was rebuilt, as predicted, in about 444 BC.
Okay.
Jesus died in about 33 AD. Now, I'll grant that these times aren't exact. Okay. This is the time that we estimate based on historical knowledge.
All right, well, let's do the math. So that's 444 BC.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus 33 AD.
Yes.
That's 477 years.
So that doesn't equal 483.
It doesn't. What gives, man?
Well, here's the deal, man. Some people actually think that we made a mistake with when the temple was rebuilt or when Jesus died.
Oh, okay.
But actually, if you follow what Israel did, they followed the lunar year, not the solar year like us.
Oh, yeah. That's like, what, 30 days for each month?
It's 5 days different than us.
Okay.
Okay? And you're right. And so over 477 years, that equals exactly 6 additional years, which means 477 plus 6 is 483. So it was exactly 483 years from the time that the temple was decreed to be rebuilt until Jesus died.
Now that'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Yeah, so don't miss this, listeners. The Bible predicted the exact year Jesus would die.
Wow.
And this was written hundreds of years before Jesus.
Right.
It says, hey, whenever this thing is rebuilt, and when was that going to be? Mm-hmm. Nobody know. I mean, this is an unlikely event in the first place.
Right. Well, the Israelites were scattered.
Right.
And taken captive, actually, into Babylon at the time.
Whenever the Vikings win the Super Bowl.
Ouch.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
About
you
that.
See, it's an unlikely event.
It is.
My favorite team. But it says, whenever this temple or the Jerusalem is rebuilt,
mm-hmm.
there'll be 483 years until the Messiah dies. boom, it is rebuilt, or the decree is put out there, and it is 483 years until Jesus is cut off. That is astounding. We cannot miss that prediction, that prophecy. Yeah. And that is not like the Muslim prophecy, the Romans would be defeated.
And they were, though.
They were, but this is detailed. This is far in the future. Oh, yeah. This is exact. It even tells you what it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble.
Well, you can even tell. I mean, when you read the Muslim prophecy, it takes you, 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
This biblical prophecy took, maybe 2 or 3 minutes to read all the way through?
Yeah, because of all the details. Yeah. And then it says, and then after the Messiah is cut off, the ruler will come who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And guess what?
It happened.
It happened. After,
boom.
After Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, someone comes in and destroys the temple.
In 70 AD, that actually.
Yeah, happened. Yeah. So, I mean, this is Bible prophecy. This is unlike any other religion. They don't have prophecies like this. They just don't. And
right.
And not to hate on them. We're not hating anyone, but we're just saying, look, this is qualitatively different.
Right. And people want to know, why do you think that your religion is better than everyone? This is the reason. You know?
Yeah, this is qualitatively mm-hmm. different. In terms of predicting, this is not Jonathan Edwards' TV show where he stands there for 4 hours and says, someone with a grandmother starts with the letter M, Martha, any Martha?
Right.
You have a grandmother named Martha? Did she die? This is not
right.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, in a room full of 600 people, what are your chances?
What was your grandmother's name? Did you have a grandmother named Martha?
I did not.
Did you have a grandmother that started with an M?
I did not.
Well, did you have an aunt that started with an M?
Yeah.
You did. See, I knew it was like one of these relatives that was, I thought it was a grandmother, but it was
three aunts.
It was one of your female ancestors. And is she dead now?
No.
No? Well, she's going to die soon.
No, the one that wasn't an M.
She's going to die soon.
Great.
No, just kidding. But that's what they do. And this is not what the Bible does. It doesn't make guesses, conjecture based on what is probably going to happen.
Right. No, it's specific stuff.
That's right. Hey, let's go ahead and answer our Bible contradiction for today. Then we'll get back into this Bible prophecy stuff.
Right on.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today is brought to you by a new one.
Diet Coke. Brought to you by Diet Coke.
Check it out. No, I'm drinking Diet Coke.
I want a Diet Coke.
It can be brought to you by Diet Coke, because if I didn't have one, I might not be able to be on the air right now. But
I'm drinking water.
We are getting away from that. Check it out. I stumbled upon a new site, a new website called Skeptics Annotated Bible.
They have a Skeptics Annotated Bible
that's
now.
That's what they call it.
Sweet.
You know, but they do have a Bible contradiction that I thought was a pretty darn good one. Is it wrong to have sex outside of marriage?
Okay.
Now some people say, yeah. Okay, the Bible in Exodus 20:14 and Deuteronomy 5:18, it says specifically, you shall not commit adultery. Hebrews 13:4, God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. However, there's two passages in Hosea.
Yeah.
Hosea 1:2 says, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
He's supposed to marry a promiscuous woman.
Yeah, and then farther on down in Hosea 3:1, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites.
Okay.
So it must be okay to have sex outside of marriage.
All right, so
if I were holding a book of Hosea,
then obviously, if you just use a little common sense here, our cracked acronym, mm-hmm. the second C stands for credibility.
Okay.
Let's give the author a little credit. Let's just think about this for a second.
Okay.
Is the book of Hosea saying it's okay to be an adulterer?
Well, that's what these guys think.
That's not what the book of Hosea is saying. But even more than that, if you use our K in cracked, it's mm-hmm. knit together. The Bible is not just a bunch of punchlines. This is a big, big story. And God had the prophet Hosea marry a prostitute because he wanted to show what God was like, that God will love us even though we're unfaithful to him.
I see.
There was something bigger going on that God was trying to get at. Hey, Hosea's wife keeps running away and sleeping with other men. Guess what we do, Christians? Guess what the nation of Israel did? Kept on running away to other people, to other mm-hmm. gods, other than the one true God. And God wanted to show us how painful that is, how wrong it is. And so he used Hosea to do that.
Amen.
He wasn't giving permission to commit adultery. So it's not a Bible contradiction at all. Okay, on the other side of this, we're going to talk about more prophecies that Jesus had fulfilled, so we know that he's the Messiah. And you, my friends, are going to come out to Revolution Church.
Yeah.
9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. every Sunday morning.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Scientists near China have discovered a new fish that has been called the missing link in evolution.
Before we discuss the science of it, let's think about the assumptions here.
Often people look at the fossil record and say, this is clear evidence that life has evolved.
But there's another way to view the fossil record.
We agree the fossils are giving us a history of life on Earth, but that history doesn't have to be understood in terms of evolution.
There are similarities among creatures, but does this imply common descent or common designer?
For instance, you could order our radio shows from basic and short to complicated and long, and in terms of evolution, you might assume that's how they progressed.
But it's not accurate. Just because there's a pattern doesn't mean it was developed that way.
It could be that all creatures share a common designer, not common descent.
In fact, prior to Darwin, that is exactly how scientists understood the fossil record. Just different eras of God's own creation from a common designer.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And that means we're back.
That does mean we're back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about prophecies that Jesus fulfilled today.
Right, he fulfilled what? One or two prophecies, right?
J. Barton Payne says that he fulfilled, or that there are 1,817 predictions in the Bible.
Oh, come now.
Yeah, and these are detailed. They're told far into the future. Jesus fulfilled a lot of these, possibly hundreds, at least 40-some that we can mathematically calculate.
Right, because there are some that, I mean, what are the odds that someone's going to be born of a virgin?
Right, you can't calculate that. You know. He was born of a virgin? Yeah, that's like 1 in 30.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Right.
So
that's like 1 in however many people have actually walked the earth.
So, yeah, you can't really calculate that one. But, you know, there are other prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled, and you can calculate the probability of those things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can at least give them a conservative value. You don't want to be liberal about giving that value to it and make it look like something it's not.
Right.
But just a couple other prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. If you look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So in other words, it's talking here. It says there's going to be someone who's a ruler from old, of ancient times, talking about this is going to be a son of God. Like, that's the point he's getting across here. And it says, he's going to be the ruler, and he's going to come from the town of Bethlehem. Very clear. Bethlehem is the city where the Messiah is going to come from.
Right.
Absolutely clear.
And he was born in New York, right?
Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
He was born in one of the... No! He was born in Bethlehem!
Right!
He was born in one of the boroughs of New York.
Right.
He did the Harlem Shake.
He did not.
Okay, so...
Right, but you're right. The Bible specifically said that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, and da-da... He was born in Bethlehem. Totally not a coincidence at all. I mean, it may look like it if we could take this one and have it stand alone, but man, if you put it next to all the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. And even the Jewish people from back then recognized that this was a prophecy. Mm-hmm. They said, if you ask them, where is the Messiah going to be born? They said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem.
Right.
That narrowed it down. If you met someone who was not born in Bethlehem, you knew off the bat they weren't the Messiah.
Right.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty good prophecy there. Now, Jesus, actually, the Bible gives us the address of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Tells us exactly where he's going to come from. Something you cannot control, where you're born or who your ancestors are. You cannot control that.
Absolutely.
The Bible tells us in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, that Jesus or the Messiah, whoever it is going to come from Abraham. Okay, now that's fine.
Because a lot of people came from Abraham.
I mean, hundreds of people came from Abraham. But out of all those hundreds of people, the descendant named Judah was going to be the one whom the Messiah came through.
Okay.
And out of all the people that came from Judah. Which was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Only the descendant named David, the youngest of his father, was going to rise to prominence, become a powerful king, and the Messiah was going to come through him.
Okay. And kind of specific now.
That's pretty darn specific. And so you know the Messiah has to be from Abraham, from Judah, from David, born in the town of Bethlehem. I mean, this is an address.
Right?
There's not... I want you just to...
Could have been the guy next door. I mean, could have been the guy across the street.
No. I want you to think, let's just put this into an analogy. Because you hear this and you think, okay, well, that's probably a lot of people. But let's just put this into an analogy for ourselves and see how many people would fit. Okay. I want you people to think about your great, 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 great grandfather.
Okay.
All right. And think about all the descendants that he might have.
That's a lot.
And we're going to come down and somehow find you. I want you to take, then just get rid of all the descendants except for your great, 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 great grandfather.
Okay.
Okay. You've already, discounted everyone else.
Yeah, that lops off about 90%.
Yeah. And actually what you're going to do is not just that descendant, because Judah was a tribe. So you're going to actually divide the ancestors of your great, 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 great grandfather into like 100 groups.
Okay.
And you're going to cut out 99 of those groups and only keep one.
Right.
Now out of that group, the group you're in, I want you to divide that into like 100 more groups and only choose one.
Okay.
All right. And then out of that group of people, the people who were born in the same city as you.
Okay.
That's it. How many people fit that description?
Not a lot.
It's probably you and your siblings, right? Unless your extended family for generations has lived in the same city.
Right.
I mean, it's only a small... At the most, a small handful of people.
Right.
Most likely, it's just you and your brother or sister.
Given that address, it would be me and my siblings.
For you, it would be.
For me.
Yeah. Given that address, for me, it would be me and my brother. It would be the only ones who could possibly fulfill that address. You see the point here, people. This is not like a generic prophecy. Oh, he's going to come from Abraham, just like a million people.
Right.
No, this is really, really specific. Only Jesus and his brothers could probably have fulfilled this.
If they had stopped.
Actually, not even Jesus' brothers, because they weren't probably born in Bethlehem. Right. Only Jesus was.
If they had stopped with, he will be a descendant of Abraham and born in Bethlehem, then you could say,
that could be a lot of people.
Right.
Any Jew living in Bethlehem. But
they get really specific.
They get very specific. It has to be of a certain tribe. It has to be from a certain line of that certain particular tribe that everyone else is cut out of. And from that certain line of that particular group, of that particular tribe, from that particular person, Abraham, it's only the people who are in that particular city when they were born.
Right. We don't want you to miss this. It is very specific and very important.
So you get that huge address. Mm-hmm. Plus, this person's going to die at a certain time, according to that prophecy we read from Daniel.
And then that narrows it down even farther.
And then we get to Isaiah 53.
Uh-huh.
And this prophecy, you want to talk about a clear-cut prophecy about Jesus. Friends, just go read Isaiah 53. And it was common for Jewish interpreters before the time of Christ to teach that Isaiah here spoke of the Jewish Messiah. And now they say, no, 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 no. this is about the suffering Jewish nation. This is not about the Messiah. Why do they reject that being about the Messiah? Because Jesus fulfilled it so perfectly.
Right.
It says that the Messiah would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. It says that he'd be despised by others, that he would be smitten and afflicted by God. It says that he would be pierced for our transgressions. It prophesied that he would be wounded for our sins. It said that he would suffer like a lamb. It said that he would die with the wicked, which he did on the cross, with other criminals. Mm-hmm. It said, but that he would be buried with the rich, even though he was despised by people.
Right.
And he was.
He's buried in
Joseph of Arimathea's tomb.
Yeah.
And it would predict that he was sinless. You know, there are many, many more. Psalms 22 predicts that the Messiah would have his side pierced. I mean, you can't fulfill that on your own. It's not like he's hanging on the cross and goes, hey, yo, guard.
Yeah, come over and pierce my side.
Yeah, when I die, would you take, see that spear over there? Yeah, after I die, just go ahead and stick it right here, all right? Believe me, it's important.
Right.
I mean, come on. This is not something. Zechariah 12 also predicts that he'd be pierced. Psalms 22 predicted that they would gamble for his clothing.
And they did.
Now, I mean, this isn't something that you probably could make that one happen. But again, it's like you're hanging on the cross. Oh, hey, yo, guys, I know I'm dying here, but would you be willing to like gamble for my clothes?
Because right.
It's kind of this thing I got going on.
Right.
It's not going to happen. All right. Hey, I want to pause. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and just to really interject real quick, the Romans were professionals at what they did. Mm. This was no game to them. So like they did this.
Right. You know. Absolutely. Okay. I want to answer a quick question that we got myself about the number 666.
I got a question.
All right. So we got this article. It's from Yahoo Sports News.
Oh, great.
Cameron Smith wrote this article. He says, in one of the strangest cases of purported religious beliefs intersecting with athletic performance, a Kentucky junior, a cross country runner, voluntarily walked away from a chance to qualify for the state meet to avoid running with the bib number 666.
Wow.
Which he said conflicted with her Christian beliefs.
They could have just turned it upside down and been 999.
They could have. Right. Actually, you know, in the article, of course, the article is this big question of like, should have they just given her a different number? And she says she asked, but they refused and all that. But I just want to think about this as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a receipt and it says $6.66, do you buy a piece of bubble gum so it doesn't say that?
Oh, definitely.
You know, if you run in a race and you get the number 666, are you cursed if you run with that number? And I just want to say, you know, first of all, you do got to follow your conscience. I mean, if this is really, really going to bug you, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just look at the Bible verse, okay?
Okay.
Revelation 13:18 says, let the person who has insight know the number of the beast. It's 666, and anyone who has anything to do with that number is going to die and be evil.
Wow.
No, that's not what the Bible verse says. Listen to what it says.
I was scared for a second.
It says, let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666.
Okay.
Okay, so this is not like saying anyone who has the number 666 anywhere is in trouble. No, it's saying this is a reference to a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
It's all it is. It's just a reference to a person.
Yeah, a lot of people just get freaked out by it.
And, yeah.
You know, I think maybe a lot of the heavy metal in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s might have something to do that too.
So we don't necessarily need to freak out about the number 666. It was a reference to a man, and if you've listened to our show for any length of time, you might know who we think that was.
Right.
I got a question.
All right, so anyway, that was fun to do. All right, Jesus fulfilled tons of prophecies. Now, I just want to invite you today, if you know, you don't know where you're at with Jesus, to really think this through. If Jesus actually did fulfill all these prophecies that were written hundreds of years in advance,
mm-hmm.
they were detailed, they were told far into the future, they were correct, and he fulfilled them all perfectly, is it a coincidence that he had the exact right ancestors, he was in the exact right tribe, at the exact right city, at the exact right time? He died the exact years predicted,
right.
That he was pierced when he was dying, that they gambled for his clothes, that all of these things happened. That's not a coincidence.
Right.
Jesus was the Messiah that the Jewish Bible predicted.
Right.
And we have the choice of accepting that or rejecting that.
Right. And if you are a seeker, if you're seeking truth, you're trying to find the truth, do not ignore what we've talked about today.
That's right.
Think about it.
I just invite you right now just to kind of drop on your knees and say, Jesus, I need you. I believe you're the Messiah that was predicted. I believe in you. Forgive me for my sins. And if you want to talk more about that, come hit us up at Revolution Church. I'd love to talk with you about
Amen.
That. Anytime. So get on over here to Revolution Church. You can find us online at truthrevolution.tv. You can find more shows, more proof for the evidence of God and the existence of Jesus, and be here next week with Dr. Gary Habermas and whether or not Jesus was a real historical figure.